Welcome back. This is Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We are on the final day of our study through 1 Peter, chapter 5, the final chapter of 1 Peter. So I'm glad that you're here. Grab your Bible and your Bible study. If you don't have your Bible study yet, you just go online to lamoradachurch.com and download it there. And you go to the Women's Ministry Bible Study page. It'll be right there for you. And we get here every morning at 7 a.m. and study the Word together. And then you can watch it anytime you want. You can go on YouTube and watch it. You can listen to the podcast, or you can go right back here on Facebook on the Lamorada LMCC Women Facebook page. So wherever you are listening from, whatever you're doing, I'm glad you're here. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, check in. Say hi. And it's nice to see the comments coming through. It's fun for me to engage with you in that way. So I'm glad that you're here. Let's go ahead and jump in with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you. Thank you for how you provide for us, how you care for us, how you give us what we need and when we need it. And I thank you for that in my life today. I thank you for this study, how it has opened my eyes, my heart, my mind, and help me to see you better. We ask that you would come before us right now, go before us right now in this time, and we would be blessed in your word because we want to glorify you. So we thank you again for our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. So 1 Peter, get your Bibles ready. Let's read through 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's kind of wet our whistle in a sense, kind of review that. I'm reading out of the ESV Bible, which is my preferred translation. Read out of whichever one you prefer. Just make sure you're reading out of a translation. You want to avoid paraphrases. And so I'd encourage ESV, which is the English Standard Version, or the New International, or maybe New American Standard. Those are all great. Also the Holman Christian Standard or Christian Standard Bible. Those are also good as well. All right, let's get into the word. I'll read, and then we'll start answering some questions and study. Chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Hold on, move the fan. Fan's blowing right in my eyeballs here. As well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So that wraps up 1 Peter for us today. Tomorrow we'll be starting 2 Peter. So if you haven't already gone online, have I put it up yet? I'll be putting that up later on this afternoon, but the 2 Peter study will be available at church to pick up, and of course, online as well. All right, let's go ahead and turn over to our study and dig in, discuss the word on there right now. So first of all, number one, how are the elders to lead the flock? So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. All right. So how is are the elders? Now, if you're familiar with church life, elders are the group of men. Elders are the group of men who are selected, appointed to come together for the guidance of that church. Okay, so how are they supposed to lead the flock that they've been entrusted to? Lucy, come on. How are they to lead that flock? Well, exercising oversight, not willingly, not unwillingly, not for gain, with humility and leading by example. And there's a lot of other passages in the New Testament that talk about the role of elders and how they are to lead. Those of you who are attending a church with an elder board, my encouragement for you would be to seek that out. Meet your elders. Find out who your elders are. Pray for them by name. And then, make note of how the church is being led and that you're in a church that this is leading, being led biblically, and that the elders are leading by example. So if you don't even know who the elders are in your church, then it would be hard to say that they're leading by example. Now, that might be on you for not being involved and knowing who your elders are, but it might be on the elders for not getting involved. But I see a biblical model here of elders who are men who step forward, who are involved in the life of the flock, and that have an example that they're leading by. And that would be the example, of course, of Christ, which Peter has been talking about throughout the whole letter. Okay? So encourage your elders, pray for them, and know who the elders of your church are. If you don't know them by name and aren't praying for them, maybe that would be something you can add to your list of things to get done this week. Know who your elders are and be praying for them. All right, number two, who is the chief shepherd? Well, that's Jesus, right? He's our chief shepherd. So what are some ways that we've seen his example? So take some time to think through an example that the Christ has set. We've gone through a lot through this study, of course, together, and probably you know some things offhand. But Jesus is our example. Elders are to lead by example. What's the example that's been set by Christ? Obviously, everything that's listed here is Christ-like behavior. Is there anything else that comes to your mind when you think about Christ and his example he set for us? Take a minute to jot that down in your study. The first thing that comes to me, of course, is from Philippians 2, that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that he humbled himself, taking on the form of a man, and became subject to death, even death on a cross. So we're seeing a total example of full humility and leadership in that way. So let's again encourage our elders to lead by example and follow after the model of Christ in that as well. All right, number three, how are the younger ones to behave? Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We see a continued emphasis from Peter on humility. Perhaps this would be a good opportunity for us to think, gosh, do I really understand what humility is? Peter's spending a lot of time talking about it. You probably have an academic definition of humility, but how does that look in my life? Am I living that out really day to day and also in the life of the church? So how are the younger ones to behave? Quite simply, with humility, clothing yourselves in that way. All right, so let's compare 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 with James chapter 1, verse 12. So 1 Peter 5, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And let's go back over to James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So as we're reading through that, I get some water to wet my whistle here. what do you see in parallels in these two passages, and what does the crown of glory refer to? Well, clearly the parallels are the being steadfast in our faith, to making it through, to holding on throughout trials, right? And then what does the crown of glory refer to? Well, this is the reward at the end for those who are faithful, the crown of glory, in James chapter 1. The crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This is the same concept here, and it's the idea of persevering to the end. Comparing number five, comparing 1 Peter 4, 1 and 1 Peter 5, 5b, we are to arm ourselves and clothe ourselves. How are they different? What visual imagery does this bring to your mind? Write or draw a picture to illustrate your understanding of these two verses and our life as believers. So in 1 Peter 4, 1, we read, Peter wrote, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. And here in chapter 5, verse 5, we have clothe yourself, all of you, with humility. So we have an arming and a clothing. What's the difference? Well, arming, obviously, is putting on arms to get ready for battle, right? And then clothing is just getting dressed. So on a daily basis, we're dressed and ready with humility, and we're also armed in terms of battle. And many of the New Testament authors have used battle metaphors to help us grasp and visualize what it's like in the Christian faith to be living it out. So how are they different? Well, one is set for battle. One is set for daily living. What visual imagery does it bring to your mind? For me, I think of Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God, that you may take your stand against the devil and his schemes, right? So the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the gospel is fitted on our feet, ready to deliver that. We've got the sword of the Spirit, and we're ready and armed for battle. So that's the imagery I get. And so I think of someone who's out there, you know, really living forward in their life, and not just being passive in their Christian walk. Maybe you'll take a time to draw that out in your study. I love to see the illustrations. And if you do draw it, take a picture, send it to me. I love those. All right. How does the devil's behavior compare to the believers? So 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So how do we see the difference? Well, we need to be armed and really embrace the reality that we have an enemy, for starters, and that the devil does prowl around, that he is always spoken of in the Bible as someone who's on the move to destroy those who are God's children, all right? So how does that compare to the behavior of the believers? Well, the believers are armed in defense and ready. They're clothed and they're armed. They're prepped and ready to go. There's many mentions in the Bible of what that looks like outside of clothing metaphors, but Peter mentioning earlier in chapter 4 about arming our mind, being sober-minded and all that. One of the most obvious ones is to know the Word of God, to have it at the ready. We see that in Ephesians, even chapter 6, so that we can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, it says, because we know the Word. And how many of you have experienced that in your own life, that when you are immersed in the Word, you're ready to go, that when you are in life's trials, you are ready to go. you're armed, and God's word nourishes you and comes back to your mind, comes back into your heart, and encourages it and sustains you during that time. So, again, an encouragement for us to be in the Word, meditate, study, enjoy, delight in the Word, as the Bible says, and to memorize the Word also, so it's in our brain. All right, number 8. What 4 specific promises does Peter give those who, quote, suffer a little while? God will, and this is further down and in verse 10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself do the following: restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We've seen this phrasing of being established, and we read this in James also, did a little study on that. But this is just a fourfold promise to us that not only will we receive the crown of life, the crown of glory, but God is going to make it right. We are going to be set up. It's going to be made right. We're going to be restored. So everything is going to be put back right. Confirmed. That's the big yes from God about who you are and your place in his kingdom. Strengthened in your walk as well, and established, like we studied last week in James, in our faith, that we will be established, set forth by God and set aside as well. Number 9, compare the role or rule of Satan and that of the God of all grace. So in 5, 8 through 11, we have the God of all grace, who's again restored, confirmed, strengthened, and established us, to him be the dominion forever and ever. And I want you to go back over to chapter 4 real quick. I didn't write this in your notes, but you get the bonus because you're here and study with me. So some of the things that I add in here aren't in your study notes. But go back over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. And Peter wraps up that section and says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then we have that again in verse 11, to him be the dominion forever and ever. So the role and rule of Satan and that of the God of all grace. God of all grace has dominion. He is the one to which the ultimate rule belongs. Satan might be prowling around, but Satan's on a leash in a sense. Satan doesn't have full reign and coverage. He's accessible. We are accessible to him, but God is in full dominion over the earth and everything ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth, as we'll learn in 2 Peter, will be destroyed essentially first and then restored and completely made new, brand new. All right. So Satan's role is to destroy us, to prowl around, to devour us. But God's role, as we saw here again in this final portion, is to establish us, to strengthen us, to confirm us, and to restore us, whereas Satan's role is to completely annihilate, to destroy us, to make us question and lose our faith. By the way, another little side note here, if you want to read a really fascinating book that helps you to visualize the mind of Satan, kind of a creepy thing to consider visualizing, I would encourage you to go to C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters is the name of the book. It's a classic fiction work that he wrote, and it really is interesting to see how he engages the mind in terms of getting behind the scenes an imaginary scenario about what Satan and Satan's soldiers, demons, are doing and how they attack Christians. It'll wreck your brain a little bit because you realize, wow, this is so true in terms of our Christian walk, how we fall prey to Satan. And so it's not like he's out there in his big red costume with his, horns and, I'm Satan, I'm going to get you. Way more subtle than that, but still a lion seeking to devour us. So I guess if I could wrap up with anything in this portion, it would be in the Word, know the Word, and be aware that you do have an enemy and never lose sight of that. And on the days that it's not going well and you're blowing it and you realize that you're not walking in the Spirit like you should, consider the possibility that Satan has had his way, that you have been devoured in a sense in that day, and get that right with the Lord so that he will restore us, confirm us, strengthen us, and establish us. All right. Final question. What a great time you've had together in the Word. Take a moment to review 1 Peter and write a key verse here that is helpful and encouraging to you in your daily walk with the Lord. Lots of great verses. Probably one of my favorite verses is from this particular chapter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We're living in a world with so much anxiety, worry, and fear, that this is a constant reminder to me that we have a God who loves us, and that when we're in a position of humility before him, he will take care of the rest, right? All right. Well, God bless you. I'm glad that you were here for this study. I've enjoyed 1 Peter with you, and I'm really looking forward to starting 2 Peter with you. I'll be right back here tomorrow, live on Facebook. And we'll be in 2 Peter. I'll be getting that up on the church website in just a little bit, so you'll be able to download that study. If you prefer to have the hard copy, go back to church, grab a copy. It'll be in the hallway right outside the church office. Find me or find Ruth, and we'll get that for you. Or Kathy Wells, one of us can get that for you. And we'll get you the study, all right? Otherwise, go online. I'll put that up later this afternoon. Appreciate a word of prayer for me today. I'm not feeling well. I wanted to make sure I was here for this study this morning, but it probably will be back under the covers in a few minutes. I really fought a fever all night last night, so I'd appreciate your prayers. Thank you. I enjoy being in community with you in this Bible study, and I know that you'll be praying for me throughout the rest of this day, and prayerfully I will be with you tomorrow morning feeling better. And not feeling worse, but I am putting on my oils. I got them on my feet. I fought a fever off last night because of that. I'm very thankful. And so today I'm going to just try to not get sick. So thank you for praying for me. And again, I will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Facebook Live, or anytime once the recording gets put up on our podcast or on YouTube. All right. Have a great rest of your day. For those of you who are going to be with us at Bible study this morning, you're in for a treat. Teresa Mestis is sharing her story, and you're going to be blessed. So if you aren't able to be there, make sure you go onto the podcast. Any podcast app, Dwelling Richly is what you're going to search for. Download the app, download this, subscribe to this, the podcast, and then go listen to Teresa Mestis's talk. Her talk from last night is already up. I'll put it up again this morning after she finishes. And there we go. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Never forget that you are loved and prayed for. I appreciate you being here. And I look through the list of folks that are on our Facebook group or whatever, wherever you're listening, and I see your name and I pray for you. So you can know that you're covered in prayer, and I appreciate that you're covering me back in prayer today as well. So God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye now.